Good morning, and you're listening to KGNU Community Radio. You're listening to Poco and Boco. I'm Nikhil Mankekal. My co-host Tracy Jones is out this week. Today's guest is Nikki McCord of the McCord Consulting Group, and we'll be talking about board diversity. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Nikhil. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, pleasure to have you on. Thank you for doing it. Nikki, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what you do?
Absolutely. Well, I have more than 10 years of experience assisting board of directors with their board governance, board recruitment, and board diversity needs.
Excellent. So delving into this, what are some of the challenges? Explain what board diversity means to the audience.
Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of people don't understand the importance of a board of directors to begin with. And so you have both board of directors on public companies as well as nonprofits. And the board of directors are really there to help advise the organization, help the organization understand its mission, stay on track with its mission, assist the executive director or the CEO in the overall or the overarching goals of the organization, to find an executive director if there is a need to bring in a new executive director at any point of time. And also, board of directors have a fiduciary responsibility to the organizations, yes, in which they sit. And so with that level of responsibility, it's very important that you have a diverse set of skills, people, opinions, and ideas to help really create a holistic, innovative approach to how an organization wants to run.
Yes. And so we see this in both business and nonprofit boards. So there's generally the consensus is up to now we've seen a lack of diversity and representation from women, people of color, and boards of directors. And why do you think that is? What are some of the challenges that exist that have led to this situation?
Well, I think it's very easy to identify with, to associate with people who are very similar to you. And I think that one of the challenges of board of directors are you get people who have a similar mindset or who have similar experiences to all continue to sit on the board. And when it comes to asking questions of who do we need to bring onto the board in terms of either people falling off or you want to bring in additional members, you're going to that same well that you always go to find members. And so what I say in terms of some of the presentations that I give is if you're on a board and you have all attorneys on that board, you're not diverse. The reason why you have all attorneys is because those are the people who you associate with. Those are the people you know. So it's a lot easier to go to those folks and ask them to join your board. Honestly, diversity is hard. And a lot of people have a difficulty in doing that hard work. And so a lot of the work that I do is to help people understand the different types of diversity and give them tools and ways to think about diversity in a different way so they're not afraid of it and they actually know where to go to find people who are different than them to serve with them on boards. The research also says that diversity is good for getting to better results. One of the pieces of research that I really like says that when you have a homogenous team that's working on a problem and they're trying to come up with a solution, let's just say 1 + 1, a very easy solution. If a homogenous team is working on the problem and they cannot find the solution to the problem, when they add diversity to that group is, I believe, about 60% more likely to come up with the correct solution. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is through that deliberation, through talking to each other, through working it out, through having those difficult conversations, they're able to get to the better or to the right decision. And so that's why diversity is also very important, and that healthy conflict that diversity creates is also very important because you want to get to better results. You want to get to more innovative results for not only yourselves, but for your organization as well.
Right. It seems getting outside of the box, so to speak, is something people pay a lot of lip service to in business and in organizations, especially at those upper levels. They want to signal to, like you said, they have a fiduciary duty. They want to signal to shareholders and stock, you know, who own stock in the company, yes, we're being innovative because that's going to fuel growth of the company. But how exactly is that being accomplished is the question if you don't have diversity on the board, which then leads to lack of diversity in the leadership chosen in representing a company. So I would also say that now, I mean, we live in a competitive global marketplace. So now more than ever, if you think you're competing with companies all across the globe, from Asia to Europe to India to China, how can companies maintain the competitive advantage now if they don't have diversity on boards, if it's just all one shade of people, all coming from the same professional background? Have you seen any trends in the thinking along diversity, both nationally and even globally?
Absolutely. So I have a monthly newsletter, and one of the articles that I wrote in the past couple months highlighted SurveyMonkey. And I was really interested in what SurveyMonkey is doing in terms of board diversity. So we all know Serena Williams, in my opinion, one of the greatest athletes of all time. She is a soon-to-be mother. She has made less than a man doing the same work. She is a phenomenally beautiful woman. And most importantly, she's friends with Beyonce. And SurveyMonkey recently added Serena Williams to their board. And I thought that that was important for a variety of reasons. One reason is because the tech community is getting just lambasted in the press in terms of their lack of diversity in upper management and on their board. And so what SurveyMonkey did was broadcast it far and wide that they had this superstar who happens to be a Black woman, who happens to be paid less than a man for the same work, who happens to be a new mother, or she was a soon-to-be new mother. And they said, this is the type of person who we want on our board. This is the type of person we want helping make decisions about the overall goals for this company. And the reason why I thought it really resonated with me personally is because I saw myself now in that board member. And SurveyMonkey wasn't shy about letting the public know that mm-hmm. we are going to embrace diversity and here's how we're going to do it. So now, when you look at a figure like Serena Williams, when I talked about some of the things, who she is as a person, there's an intersectionality about who she is. She's not just a Black woman. She's an entrepreneur. She's a businesswoman. She's an athlete. She's all of these different things. And so, in my opinion, what SurveyMonkey is doing is saying that we want those people, those types of thoughts and ideas, helping to formulate where our board is going to go, where our organization is going to go. And so, yes, people want to pay lip service, but I also want to congratulate the folks who are taking the step, because diversity is something that can be out of a lot of people's comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And so for organizations and companies to take that first step and even recognize the fact that we need more diversity, we need more women, we need more young people. We need more people with disabilities because they have different perspectives and they navigate the world differently from other people. So I like to applaud organizations who are forward-looking and saying, we may have an issue, let's figure out how to solve them. And I think that's doing a little bit more than plain lip service. I think that it's organizations recognizing that there's still work to be done. And I think that it's important for those of us in the field who have the ability to make linkages or to help support their efforts to bolster that, because we want diversity to always be there. We don't want to discourage people who are finding it difficult to diversify.
Exactly. I mean, it is difficult, and there's definitely resources and consultants like you available to help with that. And I think it's great that the thinking that a shift is happening and the potential to make a big shift happen to address this issue is we're in the midst of it now. And so definitely singling out those companies that have that in them, have that courage in them to take that leap and say, let's try this. We may make mistakes along the way, but we're heading in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I also see organizations seeing how profitable diversity is as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there hasn't been a lot of research that I've found in terms of ethnic minorities on board of directors, but there is a little bit of research about women on publicly traded companies, on the board of directors of publicly traded companies or in upper management.
Mm-hmm.
And what that research is saying is when you invite women to join and nurture their involvement and give them a voice, those companies are seeing profits higher than they have in the past. And so there is something to be said, at least the research is showing that adding the diversity of women's voices to your upper management and to your board positions does pay off in the long run. And I think companies are seeing that, and that's part of their push to figure out how to figure out this diversity thing.
Absolutely. If companies are moving too slow in advancing, sometimes that profit motive and showing the evidence to them can motivate them pretty quickly. And you have to think, at the end of the day, these companies are selling some kind of product, selling something to somebody. And increasingly, whether it's in the United States or globally, these companies are selling to a diverse constituency. So how are you going to meet the needs of that constituency and engage in good product development if from the top down, you don't have that representation and the people you're selling to can't see themselves not only represented in the company and its employees, but up at the board of director level as well. So you're getting a better product, making yourself more competitive, and the profit motive is there. Honestly, companies that don't do this increasingly will find themselves at such a disadvantage, and hopefully they can pinpoint how lack of diversity is impacting the lack of competitiveness in the global market. You're listening to Poco and Boco. I'm Nikhil Mankekar. My co-host Tracy Jones is out this week. This is KGNU Community Radio, and today's guest is Nikki McCord of the McCord Consulting Group, and we're talking about board diversity in companies. Okay. Well, Nikki, so one of the things we just talked about is why there's a lack of diversity on boards, the benefits to it, and some instances and examples of what's being done. That's not the whole story, though, because as people see the benefits of this and they want to take the steps to better diversify a board, there's challenges to it. So as you get more people of color, more women and minorities on boards who haven't been in those positions traditionally, there's all kinds of challenges to sitting on those boards. So you give people a seat at the table, but do they actually have a voice at the table? You talk a bit about some of the challenges around that issue of what happens to people once they get on these boards.
Absolutely. So imagine being the only person representing an entire group.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of responsibility to put on one person's shoulders. And so one of the examples, as a woman, I love to use the example of women all the time because we are multifaceted people. No two of us are the same. And so if you decide that our board needs more women, and then you look at that woman every time something comes up about childcare, something comes up about a woman's issue, something comes up about marriage, something comes up about taking care of the home. And if you never have taken the time to learn about that board director, you're going to make some flubs and mistakes because you haven't taken the time to figure out that this woman is single, never been married, doesn't have any kids. And when you constantly come to her asking her opinion on these things in which she's not familiar, you're really embarrassing yourself. And so one of the things that I encourage boards to do when they bring on any new members, but especially when they're bringing on diverse members, is take the time to get to know them as a person. Go out to coffee with them. You may learn that your kids go to the same high school and you didn't know that. You may assume because there's a Black woman who's sitting on your board that you're making certain assumptions about her because you haven't actually taken the time to get to know her. And so I feel like that helps not only an established board not have missteps, but it also makes that new board member feel valued. So even taking a step back to having that new person on your board, one of the things that I strive for and I tell my clients is make sure you have a board goal. Don't just meet every month just to meet. Know what your objectives are. And you should, as a board, be recruiting for your goals. And so when you bring on that woman, if you as a board decide that we need a better communication strategy, and you look at your board, your bench of strength right now, and you find out that you don't have a lot of people with that skill set, when you bring on, let's just say that woman, let her know that is her capacity. That is exactly why you brought her on the board, because you want to boost your communication strategy and you know that she has skills in that area. That is going to make that person feel valued and they're going to know specifically what they bring to the board. And so that's going to reduce those instances where, as a board director, you make assumptions about a person because you haven't gotten to know them. Not only have you gotten to know them because you've taken the time to take them to coffee or ask them questions, but you've also, as a board, brought them on for a specific purpose, and you can start to craft your questions and craft your discussions when talking to that person in that particular capacity. That's going to make the new member not feel like a token. They're going to actually have something of value to add to the discussion, which is going to add to the organization's innovation and future growth.
Definitely. And, if you're not actually getting to know the people on the board, you're not going to be able to extract the value out of that they can actually bring to the company to begin with. But this is a common challenge that it's a new thing for minorities, people of color, women to be sitting in these positions. And boards, they're an institution, and so they function in institutional and traditional ways. So they don't exactly automatically, just because they put a couple of women on a board, have best practices instituted. So what you just talked about, being how to be inclusive of new board members and get the best out of everyone, these are also new and unfamiliar concepts to a lot of companies. And, one of the things that's come up in with people I've talked to around this issue is oftentimes the seat at the table is just a seat at the table, but they don't have a voice, and people feel either silenced, pushed out, or they're not able to contribute what they can. So the boards themselves may need to get training on how to be inclusive, and whether it's inclusiveness training, cultural competency, all of these things might be new concepts to them. And so when we talk about taking that leap into, hey, we may have issues around this, it may involve things like, hey, all of us need to get some training on this. I mean, I've even seen that, through my work with the city, contact I've had with people at CU and all these institutions, it's, hey, guess what? From the top down, leadership needs to get some education on this so we know how to do it. And that's the thing, is going into it, expect that you might have some issues. It's not a problem to have issues with bringing people onto boards and making them welcoming. It's acknowledging that, having the humility to acknowledge that, and so that you can fix the problem, because there's definitely, again, resources available, people like you and various organizations that will do that kind of training. So what have you seen happening locally in terms of Boulder? I mean, we have a fairly active, civically engaged population, but we've also have a lot of challenges in getting people of color and representation into both elected positions and on nonprofit boards. And then also, again, in the tech community itself, the common criticism is that it's a monoculture. And you look at from the top down what's going on, there's obviously some challenges in getting diversity into those positions. So talk a little bit about what you've seen in Boulder County.
Absolutely. Well, I love Boulder. I love Boulder County. I love the people and the enthusiasm folks have and the openness people have for inclusion and diversity. However, with a place like Boulder County, it can be a bit monolithic or homogenous.
Mm-hmm.
I think homogenous is the better word. With a place like Boulder County, it can be very homogenous. And a lot of the criticism is, well, I don't know how to find Black people. I don't know how to find Hispanic people. I don't know how to find LGBT people mm-hmm. to sit on my board. And my response to that is to be intentional with what you're looking for and not shy away from it. If you really want to find an LGBT individual to fill a board position, number one, shout that from the mountaintops. Let folks know that you are currently looking for an LGBT individual. Secondly, go to those organizations where those individuals exist naturally. And let them know that not only are you looking for an LGBT individual, but you're looking for an LGBT individual with a particular skill set. And so that helps invite people in. The other thing that I want to do is highlight two organizations that I think are doing a very good job in terms of training diverse candidates to have the skills to be effective board members. And the first of those is PEARL. It's called People Engaged in Raising Leaders. And what PEARL wants to do is increase involvement among people of color on boards and commissions, especially on the city and county level. So I would encourage individuals to go to PEARL to seek out recent graduates for their board of directors. The Community Foundation also has a leadership program, and a lot of the leadership fellows that come from that program would be fantastic individuals to include on your board of directors. And so seek out those organizations that foster that diversity among board directors. And then another thing that I would suggest that you do is it's okay to ask your friends. Everyone you know should know that you're on a board and that you're looking for a particular person. Use social media. These are the tools that we have available to us that we can broadcast these messages far and wide. And so we're not looking just at our immediate friends or our immediate contacts, but we're looking outside of them to find qualified individuals. And let me tell you, the qualified individuals of diverse backgrounds are out there. You just have to know how to access them.
Great. Well, thank you, Nikki. It was a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you, Mikhail.
You're listening to KGNU Community Radio. This is Poco and Boco, People of Color in Boulder County. I'm your host, Nikhil Mankekar. My co-host, Tracy Jones, is out this week. And thank you for listening.